First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, March 6th, 2022. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Please have a nice day, everybody. I'm the Wombat. See?
And welcome.
It's so much nicer
with us, and with us today from across the pond, we have John Richards. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
We also have Gary Smith, or Dread Pirate Higgs, from up north in the frozen north, Canada. Welcome. And George Brown, the 2.5 from East Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in town, well, you're just not. In Knoxville, we have a group of over 1,000 of us, and we're in the middle of the Bible Belt. So you know there are plenty others around where you are. We'll tell you more about our group after the mid-show break. Well, Wombat, what are we going to be talking about this week?
We're going to be talking about the power of please and what would change our minds, if anything, if God started using please more. But before we get into the meat and potatoes of that topic, let's throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
God be me captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt water. He steereth me through glassy seas. He filleth me bowl. He steereth me through straits of noodliness for goodness sake. Aye, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder, they comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me in the presence of me mates. Thou quenchest my thirst with grog. My goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall abide with me all the days of me life, and I shall dwell in the galley of our club forever.
Amen.
Guys, I'm feeling pretty good. I went to my first disc golf tournament yesterday. Got even on par. I'm really happy with that. Throwing putters, but I feel good. I feel like I had a really fun time outside. It's been so cold and muggy the last couple of weeks. I'm just glad to finally see the beginnings of spring come in without the pollen, But it is nice to be out.
Oh, yeah.
So, Roundtable. I mean, Tennessee is getting really, really nice. I know it's raining in some places right now, but for the most part, it's getting really, really nice. John Richards, what's it like up there across the pond? How are you enjoying the now hopefully turning weather for the better?
We've got swathes of daffodils everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah. It's sunny out here right now. It looks a bit like my picture.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So the tourists actually were like, man, we were lucky. We got that 1 week of good weather in England.
No. This is a myth. This is a malicious myth put about by Hollywood, who portray Britain as being a foggy place and raining. It's not true.
Just
look at the meteorological statistics.
Yeah, and look at the picture behind you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, there you go. And New
John
York.
Richards. President of Atheism UK also saying don't trust the media. I love it.
I'm saying don't trust Hollywood because not all the media, but if you look at the stats, you'll see that New York has got a far rainier, wetter, and more extreme climate than London.
Okay. Shots New York and California, coast to coast.
California's pretty balmy. Yeah.
Gary, it's good to see you. By the way, really, really nice jacket. How you been?
I've been well. I am back from my sojourn up north.
Right.
And I've been out to actually, I, recently set up a wood shop. I've got a couple of wood lathes. So my mentor has been showing me the ropes and making my very first bowl with maplewood bowl. So okay, once that's done, I'll show you guys next week.
Are you doing like laminate layers, or is it one block that you're just carving into?
Yeah, just one block, one solid piece of maple. Cool. And it's got some really nice patterning in it. Yeah.
So I remember when I took my first welding class, the funnest thing that we ever made was a box. You had like a couple of panels and you had to weld them all together and you had to hold water. Yeah. The thing that you made had to hold water for a half hour. And I remember making it for the first time and it sprung leaks left and right. It was more of a sieve, if anything. But the second time I'm just there watching it for a full half hour. It's like, don't drip, don't drip. So yeah, the idea of making things out of wood, making things out of the earth, it's just a really fun process to learn and really respect the quality craftsmanship that go in a lot of things we take for granted.
Yeah. Well, you could have called yours a colander, right? Because if water drips out of it, right?
So. I mean, if anything, it makes you appreciate the grand designer anymore. Anyway, Larry, how have you been? How's life, man?
Oh, doing fine. Workaday world anymore. Just playing games on evenings and weekends, watching TV. As an old guy, I don't get out a whole lot, but life's good.
Have you heard of a game called Elden Ring? It's kind of like going crazy right now.
I've heard of it, but I haven't played it. I've been playing Skyrim a lot on Quest 2, 3D.
Okay, then you got plenty of virtual.
Yeah.
Elden Ring, just like Skyrim, just way harder. Way, way, way harder. May not even be worth your time based on
how hard it is. I don't need it harder. And I'm playing Skyrim on easy.
Harder is not gratifying.
Yeah. Some people like hitting in walls. Yeah, I realize as the older I get, the more jobs I have, the more I want to have easier things in my life. Anyway,
When you're enjoying it. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a gamble today. George, how are you feeling, George? What's going on with you?
In the interest of being brief, I'll say good. Let's move on.
Cool. Thanks for the setup for the great transition. Anyway, so what we're going to do now is I'm going to play in my head and say to myself, you know, George, it's so hard to take umbrage against that without you saying please, because I feel like there's power in being polite. And if some people would just take the moment to just show a little bit of charitability, a little bit of humbleness, just to be a bit polite and not make it so much of a commandment, but more of just an offering, maybe I'd more acquiesce to a personality of that, regardless of whatever they were telling me.
Especially supreme beings, huh?
Especially supreme beings. So what I wanted to talk about today was the power of please, particularly coming from God. Because one thing you don't hear a lot from God, I think we can go through the Bible and actually see this as like a word search. If we looked for a number of times God has said please, it might be zero. It might just be straight out zero. However, what if he just said please more? And how would atheists react to it as a result? And so what I wanted to do is a roundtable discussion with the people here, where we take a classic commandment or a classic phrase from God, put please at the front, and see how we would feel if he was just a bit more polite. Would that even make us persuaded? I think in some cases we would, and I think in other cases we wouldn't. Let's see. John Richards, I want to throw out the first one to you, okay?
So
go for it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of please, because I've raised about five children. I say about because, you know, some of them are left and they're producing grandkids. But I'm very much in favor of please. I get to the stage where if they don't say please, I don't do what they want. Mm-hmm. And eventually they twig, and then I do what they want. And I say, do you know why I did that? And they say, because I said please.
Nice.
It's so important. Do you know, even if God said please before kill your son Isaac, I wouldn't be persuaded.
Okay. So we have a line in the sand. It's good. How about this, though? He also says, honor your mother and father such that your days may be long on the earth. What if he said, please honor your mother and father? John Richards, as a parent yourself, how do you feel about that? Would that make you feel any better?
Well, I think this is such an important rule that it doesn't really need please, you know. It's just a way of respecting the generation that produced you.
Okay, I think, Larry, what do you think about the idea of honor your mother and father with pleas or without pleas? Would it change how you feel about it in any way? You're also a dad.
Sure. I would think so. You want another example? I would be, please don't eat the fruit of the tree. That would be nice.
You guys both have interesting takes on this, because I wouldn't honor a mother or father based on a commandment. Like, for me, and Dredd, feel free to counter this.
It tends to make you rebel against it just simply because it's a commandment.
Well, sure, but yeah, I would counter that, honoring your mother and father, it shouldn't be by fiat, right? It should be that they've, done and acted in a way that is suitable for a parent to act.
Sure.
There's lots of parents out there that unfortunately are either abusive or neglectful of their children. And in those cases, I wouldn't think that they deserve being honored by their children.
Yeah.
Right. There's also people who just don't know who their parents are. Maybe they, there's a number of circumstances. If I don't know, and I have maybe different sort of parents, or I just didn't need them, or I had one parent, or, it's an orphan and you just graduate out of that system. But like,
or
either
foster
way,
parents. Yeah.
Foster parent, or maybe you're a sperm bank baby. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but maybe you don't know who your dad is. Should you go out of your way to find him and honor him? Or should you just appreciate the mom that you had and just move forward with that? I think honor should be one of the things like respect, where it's earned and you give it as at where it's deserving,
sure,
whether it's asked for or not by a complete third party. Dredd, what do you think?
I just wonder if we might introduce our latest addition here, Swedish Steve.
Swedish Steve came on. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, boys.
Hey.
Hi Steve.
Swedish Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, George. Hey, John.
I happen to know that you're recently good. A parent, right?
I am.
Little girl or little boy? Which one was it?
I wanted a little girl, so of course it's a boy.
Okay.
Oh, that's so good for you.
Yeah, you're spiteful.
You're quite in luck. I am doing so what we're asking today is in the Bible it does say two things. One, kill your son Isaac, which is kind of rough, right?
Yeah. But
if he said, please kill your son Isaac, hopefully I don't know, maybe there would at least be some hesitancy there. But the idea of honoring your mother and father as a commandment, whether or not you say please, for me feels it's immaterial, because I still feel like that is something that needs to be deserved by the parent. But as a new parent, what do you think? Do you feel like the amount of work that you've done so far has made it that you deserve to be honored by?
No. You can't say that it's something good to take care of your baby. Mm. It's natural. It would be unnatural not to take care of the baby. So that doesn't give me any, good credits from the baby, and is deserving his respect when he gets old enough to stop drooling and maybe think.
Mm-hmm. Like the expectation is, if you're going to have kids, take care of them, right?
Yeah.
You don't get expert points because you want also some respect out of it because I took care of it. It's like, no, that was your job when you had me.
Yeah.
That would in fact be what God does, right? Because he creates his beings, and then he demands respect and love and worship and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Exactly. Please. But if he said please, it doesn't change it. John Richards, have we convinced you, or are we still off? What do you think?
Well, I'm with you in that I don't think it's really a case for pleading. In this country, we've just jailed some abusive parents who were responsible for the death of a two-year-old.
Right.
And sorry, this is so dark, but there's some video shown of the mother recording the two-year-old and trying to get that baby to say it loves the mother, and it's very reluctant to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any amount of pleading is appropriate in that case.
Mm.
Like Steve said, this is a duty rather than a choice.
Mm-hmm. George, how do you feel? Do you feel like you had a duty to raise your kids, or do you want some special recognition for it?
I don't want any special recognition for it. And I think we have a duty, if we are suitable parents, which a lot of people are not and should not have children in the first place, but if we are suitable parents, we have a duty to be nurturing and never to be abusive to our children.
I agree.
So whether God says whether God says please or not is irrelevant, because the man behaves just like Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump.
That's, I mean, honestly, if we're going to really consider it, that's a compliment considering how crazy God is in the Bible. There's not much comparison of guy who drowns the world in chapter one. And then it's like, the rest of the books keeps going. It's like, yeah, it keeps going. It gets better. It gets better. He has a really nice turnaround. He starts perfect and it's great.
Would it have made it any better if he'd said, please, can I drown the world, apart from Noah? Yeah.
Technically, he asked Moses to say it for him. So I guess it's okay. Who knows? Though I will throw this at this next one. One of the weirdest commandments that I had seen that I never really understood very well was keeping the Sabbath holy. Have you guys ever heard of that, Sabbath? So for some reason, some people say Sabbath is Saturday, which I think makes sense based on a Georgian calendar. Yet a lot of people just go to church on Sunday and will call that Sabbath. And I've always been confused how we haven't even gone the day the right time, like Saturday. It's like, no, it's Sunday. So my main thing was, well, how do you keep the Sabbath holy when I was a Christian? And I found various different levels of respect for it. Some people don't even leave their homes. Some people don't tie knots. Some people will say they don't listen to music. Other people will say they don't eat certain kinds of food. There's very unclear rules about it. And even in the Bible, it's like, well, I'll only burn my goats at this temperature. The other ones, it's very bizarre. However, if you got a clear list of instructions on how to keep the day holy, maybe I'd acquiesce to it more, at least if it was more consistent. But if you just told me, please, maybe I'd go out of my way and do it. What do you think? John Richards, would you keep the holy day Sabbath if God was like, listen, this is what you got to do. Could you please do this on every Saturday? Could you please do it? Am I harming you or harming you in any way? Please, I'm asking you.
We've had a history of fighting to get the Sabbath treated as a normal day of the week over here.
Wow. Because which day is it for you guys?
It's Sunday for us. Mm-hmm. And that's confusing, as you say, because, of course, for the Muslims, it's Friday. For the Jews, I think George will tell us it's Saturday, and for the Christians, it's Sunday. So there's no agreement there at all, which pokes a hole in the whole argument, I should think.
Yeah, but Pastafarians celebrate on Friday as well.
it's a very good day for a barbecue, isn't it? Let's face it. At the end
and
of
pasta,
yeah. The end of the week, yes. So when I was young, when I was the age of somebody like, say, George, I used not to be able to do anything on a Sunday because it really was shut down. No shops open. You had to go, if you were of a church going mind, that's when you went. And the pubs weren't, were the pubs open? I can't remember. But certainly in Ireland, you couldn't get a drink on a Sunday.
Wow. So
we were pretty much Sabbath right up. Although over the last 50 years, gradually we've become de-Sabbathed. Apart from, of course, Black Sabbath, which has had a good career in the meantime.
So even in Tennessee, you can't order alcohol in the evenings on a Sunday, I believe. Is that right, Larry? Is that accurate? In Tennessee and Kentucky, you can't get alcohol.
No, it's all around the county or the city laws. It's not state laws. But there are cities that have blue laws that says you can't order alcohol or get alcohol at all during usually Sunday.
So what do there is you just drive outside city limits. It's ridiculous.
Well, outside city limits is the county, and they're usually worse.
We're looking at two things. It's a huge inconsistency, but also there's no please in front of it. So, John, you said you were working to get rid of it. If the rules are just more consistent and they were given to you by a very polite God, would you be more inclined to follow them at that point?
No, I think the trend is in the opposite direction. We're increasingly heathen over here.
Mm.
So I, no amount of please is going to turn the clock back.
Dredd, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Has the Possifarian God, the great Noodly Nord himself, ever said please? And with respect to the celebrating Friday,
well, he's so drunk he can't even articulate that. I mean, Friday's his day, and you know he's taking a break, and he's just, you know, he's sitting at the beer volcano and you know, drinking grog.
If anything, I love that it's way more consistent. It's just like, hey, it's Friday, have a chill day.
Chill
out. You got to work.
Exactly.
I'm not telling you not to do anything.
If you did try to say it, it would come out as pleesh.
Swedish Steve, not to put Sweden on the chopping block, but state church, is there any sort of like formally recognized day of the week that is sort of like lower key in terms of like what businesses are in operation?
And not because of religious bullshit.
It's okay. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, there is the ceremonies on Sunday, but maybe 15 people are there in a big town.
Now, here's this. So let's say we can make Sunday the day that we have our holy Sabbath day. And God comes to you and is like, hey, listen, can you please just do XYZ things? I would really appreciate it as your Lord and Savior. Thank you so much if you can do this. Wouldn't this be great? All right, see you. Would you be more inclined at that point? He's like, oh, he talked to me. He asked me, please. He gave me a gift basket of unleavened bread.
No, it wouldn't work. Like half the population is so hungover on Sunday, so...
Nice. I'm going to come.
It's a good
Sweden.
Place to be. It's a good place to be. Go on ahead, Larry.
I was just thinking, if he actually did come to me and say, please, then at least it would have proved his existence. And I would no longer be an atheist. But it goes without saying. But it would make me tend to go along further with what he requests than if he commanded it. But at the same time, I would never reach the level of worship. I don't believe that worship is a good practice of anything.
Larry, I think that's a good point you made, because one, it is good if he could come down and just say, hey, I am here. Please do this. I would appreciate it. That would clear up everything.
Sure.
No more atheists in the world. Incredible, huge. And then a little please on top. It's like, oh, okay. What has he got to say? Still not killing my son. Thank you very much.
Right.
So yeah, like I'm not an atheist anymore, but I'm not digging the, I'm not a Christian by default because I'm not worshiping that God. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm thinking that his reputation is so poor, really. trying to get Isaac killed and genocide of all the, by drowning of the entire population of the planet, apart from Noah's family. I think just requiring him to say please is not enough. I want him to be really humble. I want him to say please on his knees.
Oh no! I was going to say pretty please. I didn't know you were going to go that far. There's limits
with sugar on top. I think God is incorrigible.
You know, a gift basket goes a long way, and I feel like if he just sent everybody a heavenly gift basket, we'd all be great. Though George, John brings up a good question. God's reputation seems to be in the trash, at least among atheists. Like, what would it take for you to be more inclined to follow this being, and would please help?
I've just put the mofo in jail for eternity. Just lock them.
Go on ahead, George. It sounds like you wanted to ask something else. Go for it.
I forgot what I was going to say.
It's okay. I thought I got to you just as you were raising your hand. It's totally fine. Hey, Larry, we're at the bottom.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Larry, we're at the bottom of the half hour. When we come back to this, and you can take us out.
Well, sure. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Be sure to stay tuned for the next half. And after this break, we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break. Thank you.
it, but all suspect that the concept of believing something without evidence is only ever said to be virtuous in a book that also says you must believe the stories in the book.
Hello, and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Dotter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take a minute to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 20th year now. ASK has over 1,000 members, and we have weekly in-person meetings at Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria every Wednesday night, starting after work around 5:30. Look for us inside. Did I say Wednesday? It's Tuesday night. Look for us inside at the high top table. We could be out on the deck, though. The weather's getting to be so pretty. We're usually the loudest and happiest group. We also have Tuesday night evening Zoom meetups if you'd like to join us, if you don't live in Knoxville or would just like to stay at home rather than get out during this COVID. Just send us an email at askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com, and we'll send you information about how you can join us. You can find ASK online on Facebook, Meetup, or knoxvilleatheist.org. You can just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. That's right. Wombat word we want to pick up.
We're going to go to current events. John Richards, you got your finger on the pulse of the world. I heard everything in outside of USA around the world is perfectly happy and wonderful. What's going on?
No, it's not. No.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a bit darker than the usual mood we have in our podcasts. But we can't ignore what's been happening in Ukraine. And it particularly as it does have a religious connotation, since back in the USSR days, religions were banned and a lot of churches were destroyed. But since Putin got into power, he has rebuilt the churches. He's built a splendid new cathedral in Moscow, and all at public expense. And so the leaders of the Christian Church, Christian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, not Greek, are beholden to him. So they pretty much agree with everything he says. And he wants to come across as a man of faith. So he tells a story of how his mother gave him a cross that he wears now round his neck and has never taken it off. So particularly because back in the pre-USSR days, the Orthodox Church had a wider boundary than current Russia. He is now using that to justify his, we call it invasion, he would call it recovering the lost lands that they ought to still own.
The Russian Crusades?
It's sort of, yeah. So I think we should express some opinions about what's going on here. Obviously, we're not going to be able to solve it. But, right.
But also, like, just throw my thoughts on this. I was saying, like, the pervasiveness of the church is always been a political tool when used by very large governments. And mm-hmm. It's not a new thing that we're seeing going on. It's not a new thing back in the medieval times. It's not a new thing since before we even Zoas. I'm sure there was some sort of shaman who used it as a way to get people to group up against the people who didn't believe that shaman had powers. But it's really unfortunate when it's a pool of people, in my opinion, who aren't educated or told or deliberately misinformed and are taught very poor forms of reason. And then those people who lead those groups can easily manipulate them to giving money or fighting for or dedicating hatred or changing their culture against certain groups of people. And I found that to just be a really terrible yet pervasive tool that we still find ourselves culpable to and vulnerable to, you know, moving forward. That's my take. Dredd? Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, as I mentioned, Canada has its own state religion. That's by virtue of the Queen as head of state, and she's, you know, head of the church, and monarchs rule by divine right. So That's a lot of push that we get from as Pastafarians in, you know, advancing our interests is the pushback from the Christians under the monarch. It'd be nice to fight that fight once I get my driver's license with my tricorn on. The next step is to get the Queen out, you know, do like yeah. Barbados did. And I can't remember what the word is. Is it secede from the Commonwealth to, you know, extract ourselves from?
I see from it as you guys kicking out the crown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eviction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Evict.
Yeah.
Yes.
Evict. Be for the better.
Well, you know, and it, you kind of see that a bit in the royal family where there's a dissent amongst the children or grandchildren. They just don't want to participate in this charade anymore. And, you know, it's high time that we get rid of this thing right across the board where state religions hold far too much sway and are used for nefarious purposes.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Swedish Steve, you have a state religion there, I believe. How much sway does it hold in your society?
Nothing.
None.
Except
you pay taxes to support it, is that correct?
If you're a member, you will pay church taxes.
So that's one step ahead of Canada. And that their taxes go to support it, whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
Not to poke Swedish Steve so much, but if you're in Sweden, you're going to pay taxes regardless.
Yeah.
I think you're going to pay taxes even if you have a TV in your home. There's a TV tax if you don't have that layer.
It won't go to the church. That was the point we were making.
Very true.
No, it goes to the public service. but I've never got this. I pay 37, I think 38. Percentage in tax on my income.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Do you get free university?
Free university, free healthcare, free medicine.
Sweet.
And nobody sleeps on the street.
No. You got a spare room there, Steve? I'm moving over.
Yeah, come on.
Don't move there right now. It's probably really dark out. Give it a couple more months. I'm gonna go up there. But going back to what John was talking about, like what we're seeing with Putin right now and the playbook he's following is the same playbook that we've seen from a number of narcissists and dictators in the past, where they use the arm of the church that they have a hand in their pocket, and the church doesn't want to lose the influence of a great, you know, position of power. So mm-hmm. they will purposely do harmful things to other people or their own culture. And I feel like narcissists don't care either way. And so I'm going to go to our own resident expert on narcissists, George Brown. tell me about narcissism and Putin. Where do you see like the lines?
Well, I'm not going to address
not
narcissism.
Not to medically diagnose anybody on the radio, but I think it's fairly,
you know,
my opinion.
The guy's a bully, and I think there's an element of sadism there. But what I'm thinking about the Ukraine, I want to share with you all is that there is a heady stench tradition of what's called pogroms in Russia, which means, hey, let's round up all the Jews and have a little barbecue, you know. Sort of a sanctioned murdering of the local populace. So I find a religious component to this, what's going on.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I just want to share that one of my relatives left the Ukraine. I mean, his family left the Ukraine many, many years ago because of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. The president of the Ukraine is Jewish. Times have changed.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I can't help but thinking that part of trying to bomb the Ukrainians into the Stone Age right now, it has a religious tinge to it. And, you know, I'm feeling like the Crusades are sort of happening in a way. You know, it's like, let's get those people, you know, those horrible people who are threatening us. Remember, they're laying that on them too. And so that's about all I have to say. I feel really sad for the people.
Yeah,
that's a great angle. And I feel terrible, gutted. John, what do you think? I saw
you. Well, like you said, Ty, you either make an enemy of a church, mm-hmm. if you're a politician. Mm-hmm. And that of course, is what the USSR did. They looked at the church, Stalin looked at the church and said, this is a rival authority, I want to stomp on it. Mm. And what Putin has done is the opposite. He said, I want to encourage this, because I'm a bit weak at the beginning of my term of office, and I want to encourage this as an ally. So he's made the church indebted to him for causing it to regrow.
Right.
And as a result of which, right up until yesterday, the biggest leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Kirill, wasn't condemning Putin's invasion of Ukraine. He was just keeping a low profile and saying nice things, as you know, Putin would have imagined. And it was only in the last 24 hours that he actually came out and said, hey, this is not Christian.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, these things become wars of righteousness, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like he's going after an obvious source of oil like Saddam Hussein did in Kuwait, you know? He's just flexing because of because he's clearly a narcissist, but it becomes a war of righteousness as opposed to a war of something. You know what I mean?
Not to get too much.
That's what it appears to me.
But also Ukraine does have oil, but it's not Russia.
But yeah, but that's not their justification.
Right. There you go. Yeah. That's absolutely true. He's never said, I'm going in there for the free energy and natural resources. Right. He's made it a thing about righteousness and morality and his intent and his duty to make this country one again, to make Russia strong. But it's at the expense of the lives of civilians and terrible.
There's a really interesting book that's been written. I'm sorry, I'm remiss as to the author, but she has researched the justifications of war from all the wars that have happened in the world since 1928, when war was outlawed, war became illegal. Of course, you've got the Second World War and all the other wars that subsequently followed. But as a way to get around that bit of it being illegal, leaders have had to write justifications why they're going to war. So it would be very interesting to see what Putin's is. I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure there's one there that he's dictated to somebody to use as a justification for what he's doing.
George, get in here. Oh, go. Sweeney, Steve, do you have comments on that? Go for it.
Yeah. The justification at the moment is he is denazification and stopping the Ukrainian genocide on Russian people.
Just nonsense, of course.
It really is.
But it's the public justification that is given.
That's okay. Line.
I want to make a comment, if I may.
Go for it, George.
The history of Russia is one of continuous autocratic rule. It's an unbroken chain. So through the communist years, you had strongmen dictators following the strongmen kings. And there is a component, what we're discussing, there's a component of divine right. You know, that Putin, in other words, Putin, let's say, maybe having been anointed by the church, is chosen in a way by God to rule this empire.
As have they always done that in the past. That's why
not to make light.
Bishops crown the kings.
not to make light of the situation going on, but I felt like the red flags, I know we made war illegal, but I feel like the red flag should be if your government leader ever takes a picture of himself on the back of a horse with his shirt with off, his with shirt a rifle, off. Fire that guy as yes. soon as you possibly can, because that yeah. should be illegal, because that's a yeah. red flag. Those that are the red flags, guys. Because we don't have a lot of heads of states yeah. doing that. we don't need that as the
more PR. And more concerned about the stories I hear about Putin isolating himself. That's a psychosis or an entry point in psychosis to me. And not only that, I really worry about that. If he ever thinks about trying to use nuclear weapons, there's nobody around him right. to tell him not
absolutely.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Back in the end of the Second World War, that's what Hitler did. He, yep. he didn't come out of his bunker for months in 43, 44, because he was losing it. Right. Not only in the sense of the war, but in the sense of his marbles.
Right. It's what they forcibly did in Napoleon. Like, you take any like very strong person, either as a punishment or as they become to the point where they lose themselves, they isolate. And mm-hmm. I find that from an epistemological point of view, it's because they don't want to deal with outside criticism on their actions, because they have no capability of dealing with it. And they don't have a method where they are interested in refining a process. It just has to be the way it is, because they don't have room for doubt anymore, because mm-hmm. confidence is right. brittle. And the more you stack on confidence, the less you want doubt to come and knock over that tower. So mm-hmm. you try to keep yourself isolated away from anyone who can question you. And unfortunately, we interpret that sometimes as an audience as someone actually being right, because we tend to look at very confident people who are in positions of power and say, that person must be doing something right. I'm going to follow whatever that person says. And yeah. so Putin wouldn't, I don't want to say this too bad, but we tend to give up power when we don't have to. And I feel like that's one of the biggest mistakes we do as a people. And when we find someone who's very powerful, we often give up our own power to them. And I feel like if we ask ourselves why we do that, and should we, and see what happened if we all choose not to, I think we'd see incredible things as a country, world, really. Dredd, what do you think?
It's also about being able to assess the capabilities of the people that we would put into positions of power. If you're not a critical thinker, your criteria for evaluating their competence is right. probably pretty rough. Right. And certainly lots of people get in by virtue of their looks and their wealth and other sort of very base traits outside of a sound reasoner, a good thinker,
Right.
That's where the focus ought to be when we're picking our candidates, as opposed to how nice their suit is or what kind of shoes they're wearing.
Mm. Well, I was going to say,
go for it, George.
I was going to say, give me a chance. I'm going to vote for a comedian in future, But then I realized
a comedian, not a joke. There's a difference. Exactly. There's such a subtle difference.
We've already
got a lot of funny people who shouldn't be in office.
We've got a joke.
We've already got a joke.
Yeah.
What we want is a skilled comedian.
Hey, we've been there too. Honestly, I mean, I do feel like I feel like the religious card was played a lot in this current war that we're looking at, because it is easy to look at Ukraine if you're Russia and be like, oh, there's a lot of Jews there, Jewish president. Hey, easy, right? As far as, like, because there are people in Russia who are completely for the war that's going on, but I also have sympathies for the people who are completely against it. And I feel like a system where there's that much dissent, the only thing they can do is go out in the streets and protest, there's a problem with the structure of the political system. There should be better representation than that, than just go to that street and yell, meanwhile, we will authorize this war as on their side. Any final thoughts? What do you guys think? John, what do you think? Your topic.
I wondered if Swedish Steve has got any more to say, because Finland, with the border to Russia, they're rethinking their policy, because they've been quite non-military. And now they're thinking maybe they're next in line after Ukraine if Putin succeeds. I don't think Sweden has a border with Russia, but it would be next but one in line.
Yeah, but we have a special defense for Russian submarines, for example. We have signs in the oceans that says this way if you're gay. And I'm sure that the Russians won't be able to cross those lines as it's illegal to be gay in Russia. So, wow. For serious, it's we can't do nothing. Finland can't do nothing. It's just come in, and we have an old joke in Sweden that, well, when Russia has taken over Sweden, they will defend it, and that makes me feel very safe.
Red.
Yeah, I forget.
It's totally fine. So, John Richards, I think you make a really great point that we can look as bystanders at Ukraine, and even if we're the most empathetic, apathetic person in the world, be like, oh, well, that's a shame. Meanwhile, I got to do my own thing. That attitude, that mindset is coming for you eventually, because tyranny like that doesn't get satiated if it has a victory. It's the only way you get rid of tyranny like that is by eliminating tyranny, right? Mm-hmm. And so if Ukraine's next and they fall, and I don't think they will, but if they do, don't think it stops there. It's going to be maybe Poland, it'll be maybe Belarus next. It'll keep tiding its way over.
Yeah.
And when we see through history is every single time we've turned our backs or looked away from situations like that, it eventually got you too. It eventually got them too.
And we seem to be in the appeasement stage, like England was during World War II, at the start of World War II, when Germany invaded Poland. You know, they we can get along with them. We can work with Hitler. But then, of course, Hitler didn't work with anybody.
Right.
I understand.
Trump, to be honest with you, but yeah.
Yeah. Did Switzerland take a stand against this invasion?
Today, Switzerland has. Yeah, Switzerland
is
altering its perpetual neutrality.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty significant when I heard that. Mm-hmm. I hadn't had a chance to research it to see what that actually meant, but...
Yeah.
That's interesting. So good. I remember hearing a story about a person learning that one group had been attacked by the government or was being targeted by the government, and he says, "Well, you know, it's not me. I don't have to worry about it." And then another group, and then another group, and then another group, and then finally it was him, and he said, "Why won't anyone help me?" And it's because there was no one left.
No one left.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It's a great parable. Yeah. If anything,
not to
pay attention to this. Like, it's so easy to not pay attention to this because it's happening so far away. Maybe you don't even know any Ukrainians. Keep this in your foresight, because you need to, in my head, yes, we've had a terrible pandemic. Yes. Yes, we've had an issue where a lot of race relations have come to light, and they were always there for some people. Like, I've always seen them, but I'm glad other people are seeing them. And I'm glad the reaction is, ooh, that's bad. Good. Pay attention to those. Yes, a lot of abuse in work and jobs and relationships between women and men in offices are completely unbalanced. And in some way, it's predatory and dangerous for women to work in those spaces. Yeah, keep paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. The thing that's going on with Ukraine, that will be hopefully resolved, but there may be another incident where you feel like your empathy is getting like exhausted. I say keep working on it, because we need to be more empathetic as a country, and we shouldn't be to the point where we turn ourselves off on stories that make us feel uncomfortable. Like, that discomfort is a good sign that you have that humanity left in you. So don't turn away from that. And I say, if you can, this is not a call to action, but my small little nitpick, and this will be part of my final word, is if you donate to the Ukraine Red Cross for this particular issue, because that does need support, be wary of what centers you go or what websites you use to donate the money, because some are religiously based, and I won't name names, but...
Right.
Look for crosses and look for religious names in the donation group, because they don't report where the money goes. Often or not, they take a fraction of that off, and then, if any, give away to the proper donation groups, which is Ukrainian Red Cross. Yeah, find them on YouTube, Google. It's a very easy search. But Ukrainian
and stay away from a religious army that supports. You know the one I mean.
Salvation. I'll name it.
Larry, if you want
Salvation Army. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one.
There you go. But and you know, a lot can be said for, you know, I mean, because there's a lot of systemic racism, for instance, or sexism. Yeah. But what it really boils down to is systemic bigotry. Mm. And that's because that kind of encapsulates every kind of prejudice and bias that people may hold. And that's what we need to address.
I'll meet you one layer lower, systemic ignorance, right?
Because perfect.
You can easily take the most racist person, take them to like a university and tell them learn stuff. Mm-hmm. And when they're surrounded by a group of people who are different from them, when they're learning from people who look different from them, when they're constantly exposed to different cultures, all that stuff leaves. And they leave some of the most enlightened people willing to contribute to society. I was so religious when I was in college. By the time I got out of there, I was like, whoa, you would hate me, Dredd. If you met me in high school, you would hate me. You'd be like, ah, Tyra, I can't deal with that guy. Anyway, but yeah, systemic ignorance. Let's fight it. One of the best ways to do it is ask questions. And we're really good at doing that. John Richards, I heard you got a YouTube thing. You just started it. What's going on with that?
No, I haven't just started it. I've been YouTubing now for a couple of years or more. Can't remember when I started. But I want to pick up on what you said about donations to reliable charities, Ty. Yes. Because yesterday I interviewed for my Free Thought Hour show a lovely guy, Kurt Lewis, who does his work for the International Rescue Committee. He's based in Sacramento, but International Rescue is all over the world. It was set up in 1948 at the suggestion of Albert Einstein, to help to place refugees. And we hear that there's 1.5 million people currently trying to get out of, well, have got out of Ukraine, and more wanting to get out of Ukraine. So there's going to be a lot of refugees. So I'd like to recommend that on that list of good charities, we put International Rescue Committee. It's led by President and CEO David Miliband, who was nearly the leader of the Labour Party following Gordon Brown, and might have given them, the Labour Party, a chance to win an election, which they haven't done in 12 years now. And he might currently be our Prime Minister, if it wasn't for the fact that his younger brother, Ed, beat him to the count. And so David is now over in New York, heading International Rescue Committee.
Well, that's great. They also have a page where they are helping Ukraine right now. So that's something that you can check out if you just Google International Rescue Committee. Yeah.
Our loss is your gain.
And listen, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm saying pretty please. Not a call to action. Larry, what's the coolest thing about suspenders? And can you tell me something about atheism? Because I don't know what it's all about.
Oh, the coolest thing about suspenders is being able to hook your thumbs behind them and act like an old Southern preacher. but my content, if you want to find it online, is digitalfreethought.com. Got some problems with audio. Be sure to click on the blog button for a radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject of atheism. My YouTube channel can be found by searching for Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes. And I have a book, Atheism, What's It All About, that you can also find on Amazon. If you have questions for the show, you can send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org or letschatse@gmail.com, and we'll answer them in future shows. If you're having trouble leaving your religious beliefs behind, you can get help at recoveringfromreligion.org. I highly recommend it. Thank you for joining us on the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. Remember, you can find this show on Apple, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Amazon, and good podcasts everywhere. Just look for Digital Freethought Radio Hour. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. Excuse me. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next week. Say bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.